Can you give us some health updates first, Paul, starting with Matty Perreault and Ehlers?
Matty's got a concussion. He's out indefinitely. He's got to go through the protocol. I don't have any timeline on that. Ehlers and Armia are in full contact sweaters today. They'll need 2 more days of that, and then we'll reassess them before the LA game, see if they get cleared. Stewart's in non-contact, has another appointment today, may come out of non-contact and be full contact. So there's all three of them will get close, to whether it's the LA game or the Buffalo game, to returning.
Generally with rookies, you might not notice them leave a big hole if they're out for a while, but Nick Ehlers, how much have you noticed that speed missing?
We have. Nick Ehlers has made just a real nice progression over the course of the year from learning the game and then switching sides and becoming a pretty valuable part of the offensive group that we have. We have missed him, especially that line was playing so very, very well. And it looked like they were just kind of growing each game and learning more about each other. So we did miss them more than I would have suggested we would have had in August, but that's a great thing that we have a junior eligible player come in and play in the NHL and get to the three-quarter pole and be a real important part of your team.
Where was his checking ability in the last game compared to game one?
Yeah, awareness. But really improved. Young players do a couple of things. They loop. They don't have a lot of stop and start in their game. Their shift length is usually, and they'll take bigger chunks of the shift in a neutral mode, just kind of sharking around, especially if they're offensive guys. So that's what they bring, and then they have a whole other set of circumstances. They have to learn the game. But the advantage that Nick has is very smart. So if you're smart, the NHL game for some guys is easier. There's not usually two guys chasing you. Everybody's got one job. So he's picked up on that well, to the point that he wouldn't be making any more defensive mistakes than any of our veteran guys at this point. I mean, you know, he'll get beat down the wall every once in a while by a D that he hasn't learned that there are certain defensemen you have to watch all the time. But those guys are beating veteran guys too.
Paul, I know you talked about Alex Burmistrov on the weekend, but he's been in the league for a while since he was 18. I know he went to the KHL, but it seems like we're still trying to figure out what he could be.
Right, that's fair.
What has the last little while taught you about him and what maybe he could be beyond this year?
Alex, I think, will become a two-way player. So there's enough offense there that he can play with skilled players and help them and be a part of that. At the same time, that won't be the defining element of his game. Where he's become important for us is he kills penalties, and he kills penalties well. And when he and Andrew Kopp have gone together, their numbers are very, very good on a team that was searching for penalty killers. So we see him becoming that two-way player.
Every time you talk to him, he mentions confidence.
Yeah.
And it's a guy, again, a guy that's been in the league for a bit, and yet he seems to be
right.
Have to battle through that.
Every
player is different, I guess, in how you handle that.
No, I think it's part of, it's more of a European thing. So more plays are allowed in that style of game, right? It's a puck possession game over there. The best way I can describe it is I had Evgeny Malkin in the KHL. Almost every forward on my team wanted to play exactly like Evgeny Malkin did. So the fourth line left winger was playing the exact same game, not particularly well. And that's fine. That's the way that game's played. There's kind of a one style. Everybody hangs on to it as long as you can, and you want to make plays, and you can try to beat guys. There's lots of ice over there. You can. When you come here, there's a threshold when you're allowed to try to make those plays. Now, normally the top end guys will make it 7 out of 10, but they turn the puck over a few times. And as you move down that list, you'll get to a 5 and 5, and anything below that, you're encouraged not to make those plays. So the confidence comes from when the coach stops beefing you for making plays that go south. And you have to be able to make plays. Good players make plays. They turn pucks over making plays. The really good ones just complete the play enough times that you forgive the 2 or 3 times. You might still bark at them, but they don't really listen to you because they know. They make it 7 or 8 times, but they also know they have to, right? That's the pressure of a great player. So when we're in, it's true of young players, and I think European players that have to make an adjustment to the NHL game. Confidence is being able to make a mistake and the coach puts you back out on the ice. And for a coach, it's where's that number at right now? Because at 5-5, I don't think I can live with that. But at 6, if he starts, you know, gets a little more confidence, then at 6-4 and he gets to that 7-3, then the coach isn't beefing you about the 3 quite as much. So he's looking for that confidence. He's playing better, so I have more in him now. We're trying to get the whole group, especially when he and Perreault and Stafford are together. Those guys are all looking to make some plays, and it works sometimes. We're trying to define the areas that we need to cut down on some of the playmaking. Right, and that's what goes, right? Because then you're going to get a good player that you know is a good player, and his number is going to start to slide on you a little bit. He's having a tough time. His confidence is off 5-5, so you start using him a little bit less, and that's where their confidence starts to slide. And at some point, one of the two has to meet here a little bit. We have to say, all right, I'm going to give you some room to make that play, and you go down and keep making the play, keep trying. Or you say, look, there's a stretch of hockey here that isn't going your way right now, and I need the next 2 games for you not to put yourself in a position to make those plays, right? Your risk profile's got to change. The really good veterans, the guys have been around, figure that out. It's not my night. I'm just putting it in deep. I'm just going to keep it simple. And usually what happens, as soon as they revert back to that simple game, all the plays open up and it comes back to them.
Postma got his first goal. What have you seen from him in the last chunk of games? More time than he's seen most.
He's just moving a little better, getting to the puck a little bit quicker. Confidence. He missed so much hockey. He's a low game 27-year-old. He just hasn't played a lot of hockey. He's had an awful lot of injuries. So some repetitions. He looks like he's getting to the puck a little quicker, moving a little quicker. There's bigger chunks of his game that you don't notice him, which is for a defenseman at times, that's a real positive. But he's always had a good ability to get the puck off the wall in the offensive zone and get it to the net, either wrist shot, snapshot, and then finding those holes. And confidence again. You know, he's had a couple close ones almost go for him. Gets one last night. We should see that grow a little bit.
Can I ask the out-of-town question?
Sure.
What have you learned about your group this season, Paul, that you didn't know before?
I think I've probably learned more about individuals than necessarily as the group. We've had quite a bit of change from a July to this year. At this point, we had younger players come in that you didn't really know anything about, how they fit, where you project them, how they fit with the older players. I had a lot of unknowns coming into the year about how these guys would develop over the course of time, and then Armia comes in, who's a new player. And now we have a bunch of young players in our. So I'm learning more about the individuals than I knew at the start and how they're going to fit. I don't even know if going forward. Brian Little's injury changes an awful lot of things because you can't hang different wingers on the sides to get a feel for what they can do. So we're not learning as fast as we'd like to right now because of the people that are out of our lineup, but we have a far better idea of some of these young players and what they should be able to do, what roles we should put them in, what our expectations should be for next year.
Has what happened almost come as a shock to you guys? So much positive energy, so many positive developments last year. I think the presumption is it's always going to be a smooth
right.
Development.
Don't know. Not shocked. It's more extreme than I thought it would be. But you knew when you were putting this group of younger players in and making the decision that some of the older guys wouldn't come back, that there was the potential for a tougher, a harder lessons to be learned, especially in the Central. And then I think it's over the last month with the people going out of the room and the injuries going down, it's weighed a little heavier on us.
And then the last thing I wanted to ask, is there a lesson here just how hard it is to win in the NHL, which is something you're very familiar with in Vancouver this year?
Well, it wasn't a secret. Game's been around a long time, and the storylines are very similar. Young teams usually go through that stretch, and their men mature, and they get stronger, and they get better. But it's one of those books that you don't get to see the movie once and learn it. You get to read it every year.